We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming to the program an actress who has starred in films like Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, Funny Face, countless television shows like Peter Gunn, Andy Griffith, Roseanne. She's appeared on stage all over the country and is the author of her brand new memoir that we can't wait to read. We are so thrilled to be joined by Ruta Lee. Ruta, thank you so much for being with us.
What a beautiful introduction, Rich, and I thank you very much. And my book title is what I want you to believe right now, and that is Consider Your Ass Kissed.
Which, by the way, if somebody doesn't latch onto that just for the title alone, there are no smart people in publishing. That's brilliant.
Well, you know, Rich, I have to tell you that it's an expression I use constantly because I am so grateful and so beholden to so many people who have helped me down the long pike to even the beginnings of a career in show business. But above all, most importantly, that have helped me in the fundraising that I have done for the last 60, almost 70 years of my life. And what else can you say but sincerely from the bottom of your heart that you should consider your darling ass kissed for everything that you bring to the world? And thank you, thank you, thank you to all of my, not fans, but my friends.
Well, you have brought so much joy to people through the years, and it's an interesting journey that began for you. People may not know you were born in Montreal, made your way to California, attended Hollywood High School, and what was the break that began to get people to notice you?
Well, let's see. I was working. It's a wonder that I ever got out of Hollywood High because I was working in little theater at the same time and kind of going to school in between times. But it was a great experience. I followed people like Carol Burnett and Nanette Fabre and lovely ladies that really meant so much to our industry. And I was kind of doing little theater, and one of the producers in one of the shows that I was doing called On the Town in the small circle theater, the gallery stage, was also one of the associate producers on the Burns and Allen show. And Burns and Allen, most of your listeners are probably too young to remember, but they were the big television stars of their time. They were huge vaudeville stars, and they did movies as well, but television was their real field. And I got a job, my first paying job, on television, and it got me my Screen Actors Guild card, was on the Burns and Allen show. And I was all of, you know, maybe not quite 16 yet. And so that was kind of a break in that it got me at least a salary, which was awfully nice. And then my first big movie role was Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. And wow, I'm not sure whether it was my dancing at the audition that got me the job or my mother's praying on her knees across the street in church that I would get the job. But maybe the combination did the trick. But boy, what an experience that was to work with some of the finest dancers in America. And I wound up saying in rehearsals, what in hell am I doing here? I'm nowhere nearly as good as these people from the American Ballet Theater or from movies. Oh, but a great experience, and I'll always be grateful.
And you got to work with one of the great directors as well in Seven Brides.
Oh, I surely did. Stanley Donen also directed another movie that I did for him, which was Funny Face, with darling Audrey Hepburn and, of course, the glorious Fred Astaire. And needless to say, I think that part of the time around Fred, I was a little bit tongue-tied. But he was so dear and so nice and so sweet and became a friend. And he would send me little notes, which, like an idiot, I did not keep to think of what they'd be worth now. He sent me little notes saying, saw you on such and such and liked it, but not crazy about the part. Maybe you should try for different roles, blah, 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 you know. Very, very sweet things. And we really became wonderful friends. And his daughter later on in life became a very dear friend of mine. And she would tell me, I call Daddy. She always called him Daddy. And I'd say, Daddy, you want to come over for dinner? We're having a couple of people over. No, honey, I don't think so. I'll stay home. And then she'd say, well, Rudy's going to come. And he'd say, well, maybe I'll come. Now, if I had played my cards right, maybe I could have been Mrs. Fred Astaire and gotten all those royalties, right?
What was the experience like for you working with Billy Wilder in Witness for the Prosecution?
I think Billy Wilder is maybe one of the funniest men on the face of this earth. He has the wildest sense of humor. And, of course, you see it in his writing, you know, with I.L. Diamond. They're just amazing. Anybody that could deal with Marilyn Monroe the way he had to deal with her, because she was impossible. I mean, she was fabulous, but she was a director's nightmare because she was never on time. She was never ready. She would be prepared, but not quite ready to give you her stuff yet, you know? And how he dealt with it and got that performance out of her and got a movie that is just so remarkable in Some Like It Hot. Wow. I got that job. This is in the book, which I do talk about. In the most unique way, I had gone to see Frank Sinatra in person. I was way too young to have seen him, you know, in his heyday in New York when he was having thousands of screaming schoolgirls chasing after him. But he was now doing those beautiful Unrequited Love songs and the Comply With Me and all the fabulous albums that Frank Sinatra did as only he could. And I had been invited by a lovely man who took about 12 of us to see him at the Mocambo. Mary Morrison, who owned it, was struggling because the television had taken over and nightclubs and supper clubs were failing all around the country. And Frank said, I'll come and play for a week, and then maybe Vic Damone will come in and Dean Martin will come in and maybe Sammy will come in, and we'll see if we can't get the Mocambo live and going again on the beautiful Sunset Strip in Hollywood.
And you got to work with all of those guys, too, in doing Sergeant's Three.
So listen to this. This is the amazing thing. So now a note comes to the table, because I'm sitting there with my mouth hanging open looking at Frank Sinatra, and I'm sure you will agree that there's nobody on stage like Frank Sinatra. Nobody ever was or will be beyond Frank Sinatra. And I was sitting there just gaping at this divine performer, and a note came saying, please bring Miss Lee around to meet me. And so my host did, and he said, hello, my name is Arthur Hornblow, Jr., and I am producing a movie called Witness for the Prosecution, and I have just given you the most unique screen test. I watched you watch Frank Sinatra, and I think you'd be a very good love interest for Ty Power in my movie. Can you come in? And I said, is tomorrow too soon? And I went in and met Billy Wilder. They put me on camera. Marlena Dietrich took one look at my testing, or you wouldn't really call it a test, but the photographs, and said, Nick 9, forget it. The blonde hair had to go, and I became a brunette overnight. So it was a great experience. Fade out, fade in, it's a couple of years later, and we all know, what did Frank like to do best of all? Big Italian dinner at his house, a few people in, watch a new movie. What are they watching that night? But Witness for the Prosecution. And Frank Sinatra says to Howard Koch, for whom I'd worked many times as a director at Warner Brothers, you know, he was his partner now, Frank. I've been watching this Ruta Lee chick on television all the time. I think she'd be kind of pretty good in one of our upcoming movies. What do you think, Howie? And he said, you couldn't have picked a better broad. And so I became leading lady to Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis, Peter Lawford, Joey Bishop, the Crosby Boys, et cetera, in Sergeant's Three. Now, is that a Hollywood story? Is that a dream come true?
This is why people need to make plans to buy the book when it comes out. Consider Your Ass Kissed. We're talking with Ruta Lee here on Downtown. Now, you have had such a lengthy career in television. 5 episodes of Perry Mason, and along the way, you played about every role. You were the killer. You were a victim. You were a friend of the victim. You did a little of everything.
You know, it was such fun. And on Roseanne, I played a lesbian, a lipstick lesbian.
Right.
Let's top it off a little bit. Every studio had their version of what they thought I did, you know. Some place I was a drug addict, another place I was a society girl, another place I was the sweet mother with a heart of gold or a hooker or whatever, you know. And it was such a wonderful experience. And you know that I have over 2,000 television starring roles.
Wow.
To my credit, which is hard to believe. I forget. I have forgotten so many of the things that I did. And every once in a while, I have to look something up and I go, holy mac, I forgot I did that.
You also got into game shows and co-hosted with Alex Trebek, High Rollers.
Well, Rich, you know, I've got to tell you, and of course, Alex Trebek is one of my dear, dear friends. And I love him so, and he's going through some bad times. And I've got to tell you, he is so grateful for all the loving support and prayers that are coming his way. But I am so grateful to game shows and talk shows because the audience got to know me as Ruta Lee, not as a hooker or a sweet mother or a teacher or a Western writer, you know, whatever. And it was so interesting to me because of that connection. When people came to see me in the theater, it was so typical of someone to come backstage and not say, oh, hello, Miss Lee, thank you for signing my book, and it's a pleasure to know you. They'd come backstage and say, hey, Ruta Lee, you want to come to dinner Sunday night? We're going to have some people in. Isn't that great? Isn't that a miraculous kind of thing to happen? So I just thank all the talk shows and the game shows. And when I was getting my grandmother, or trying to get my grandmother out and had my little confrontation with Khrushchev, I had to thank all of the people in America and Canada who tuned in and sent loving messages and prayers helping me out and loving notes, you know, welcoming my grandmother when I was able to bring her over from first Siberia, then Lithuania to the United States. Americans are the best people in the world. And Lord knows you're in the end of the world that had the very beginnings of our America.
Absolutely.
And thank you all, our forebears, for making this such a glorious country that everybody wants to live in.
Well, Ruta, we would be remiss to not talk about something that you have been so actively involved in for a long time, and I know it is a passion of yours. Can you talk about the wonderful work you did with your dear friend Debbie Reynolds and continue to do with the Thalians?
Thalians was a group of young actor performers and people in allied fields, agents, writers, producers, that got tired of being called pot-smoking, hard-drinking, sex-minded idiots that had nothing to contribute to society. So they said, you know, we get together and party and play and have drinks and whatnot, sit around the piano and sing, why don't we sell tickets to something like this and make some money for a worthwhile charity? So they sent out two of their foremost members, Jane Mansfield and oh my God, the other one with the big bazooms. I said they had great attributes. I'll think of her name in a minute, or I'll call you at 2 in the morning and tell you.
That'll be fine.
And Mamie Van Doren.
Mamie Van Doren. That's who I was thinking. Okay.
Hey, you see, two great minds.
That's it.
And so they sent them out to look around, and they came back to the next meeting of the Thalians and said, well, the good diseases have already been taken. So they shot and they found a doctor that was dealing with emotionally disturbed children. So the Thalians took on the cause of the emotionally disturbed child, which was described to be like a bruised or rotten apple in a barrel that could infect the whole community, or in this case, the whole barrel. And 18 years later, after we'd collected quite a few million dollars, we opened our clinic, the Thalians Community Mental Health Center, which was the first building that went in at Cedars-Sinai. And we cared for patients from pediatric to geriatric cases. Then, some 60 years later, we decided to change our focus and put it on the young men and women who put their lives on the line for us all the time in wars that they didn't cause or want. And the young men and women of the military who came back as veterans and in most cases fell through the cracks because they weren't being well taken care of. We owe them such a debt of gratitude. So we joined up with UCLA's Operation Mend. Operation Mend heals the broken bodies, the blown off arms and legs, the burned faces, the scarred bodies, whereas we Thalians help to heal the broken mind and spirit and heart. And I am very, very proud of the fact that Hollywood for Mental Health is now Hollywood for the mental health of our returning vets. And if any of your listeners are of a mind to, I would ask them to please go to Thalians, thalians.org, and you can read all about us. You can find the contribution page. And if you have a nickel or you have 500,000, we will be very happy to take it and do very good works with it. And that would be honoring the life and the love of Debbie Reynolds, my dearest girlfriend.
That's a wonderful thought right there, and hopefully people will step up and do that. Ruta, it has been an absolute delight to talk with you. Thank you so much for visiting with us. I hope we can do it again next year when the book comes out.
Oh, Rich, promise me that you'll invite me back. I'd love to play with your fabulous listeners. And in saying so, let me just say, everybody, consider your darling asses kissed. And I love you. God bless you. And God bless America.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
Bye.